Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Well, we're getting some reaction to your little rant there, Hugh.
I mean, me and Bung is still cool. I was caught a little bit off guard behind that, and
just remember,
I'm okay. I'm healthy. I'm healthy, and that's the most important thing.
He's not a doctor, but he plays one on the radio.
No, but he told me, like, I'd use Andy Bunker's word is the gospel. The Bunker mentality's word is the gospel, especially when it comes to matters like that. And knowing that that's one of the things that as men at some point that you have to do. And I'm pretty sure there was a lot of guys out there that kind of felt like, woo, glad that's not going to happen. And it did. I'm like, woo. Yeah, it was different. It was definitely different.
Well, now that we're through that little drama
this
in our
time.
Lives. Yeah, right, this time in our lives, we start to refocus. The NFL draft is 6 days away in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we count down to the draft, there's been so much talked about with the Atlanta Falcons. I want to know, what's the over-under in all these mock drafts that we've had since the Super Bowl, Hugh? What do you think the over-under, and I don't know that there's an exact number, I'm just asking broadly, what's the over-under on the number of different players that have been mocked by the major websites? Do we just use the five or six major websites to the Atlanta Falcons?
Over five.
Well, probably 10.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's not exact science. And I understand that there are a lot of people out there, John, that they spend every waking moment trying to figure out these mock drafts and try to present it in ways that that the masses will feel like they know exactly what they're talking about. You don't know. If you're not working in the Falcons organization, and if you are working in the Falcons organization and you tell somebody, you're probably not working there anymore. So it's one of those things that's really, really tight-lipped. Even when you say sources tell me this, that, or the third, that even might be a smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things, honestly, I feel you look at it, you could probably glean what a team needs at certain positions and from the first five, but after that, it's a crapshoot.
It is a crapshoot. So what does the head coach think the team's needs are? Carl Dukes, to speak with Dan Quinn about that and the draft.
You know, think about putting a puzzle together, you know, when the season ends and there's changes that take place. And so you start during that puzzle and you add some in free agency, and then you add some more into the draft. I absolutely love this time of year because as you're going around, you know, the country and working out guys and combine, you're getting to see how they would fit on your team. So there's a number of spots with 9 draft picks. You want to really say, okay, how can these guys make an impact? There may be some guys that are selected that have a really significant role on teams or honestly, a really critical backup. Some of the guys we would hope can come and contribute to start right away. Good news is we got a really good team and we need to add some guys for sure. But there's not one, you know, gaping space, you say, okay, that's just, you know, every night when you go to bed flashing in your head or when you wake up in the morning. But there definitely are some target areas, and I'll always, you know, kind of highlight the lines of scrimmage, you know, the offensive line, defensive line, and outside, you know, at corner because of, you know, how many receivers are playing and the amount of really good receivers there. And then the speed part of it at linebacker, you know, to defend and guard the good backs that we have in the league and certainly in our division. So that's, you know, some of the things that go through your mind. And when you go through the board, kind of the fun part is you go player versus player, but not necessarily at the same position. So if you and I had the same exact grade, you know, how does it differ horizontally? Okay, now we can get into some specific needs. And what I try to do is communicate to TD after watching and evaluating the player, what that guy would do on the team this year. And in some, you know, how soon can we get him to play and how would he contribute? And just try to find the things that they do best and then highlight them. So long question, but I always are thinking about the team and which guys can help the team the best. And sometimes it's 4, 5, 6 guys that I think will help the team this year. Not all of them will start. Some will. But as we're going through it, you know, we got to see who can impact the team the most.
It's Dan Quinn, our head football coach, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. DQ, what's the most important factor in drafting a player for you?
I think the biggest thing is finding the best fit. And why I say that is because there's a lot of really, you know, guys who have a lot of talent. But for us, it's, you know, you want players that are talented. And so, you know, best guy, right guy. If it's the right guy, it is the best guy. And so I would say, when the guy comes to your team, how are you going to feature that player? And so to me, that's the factor of having a real clear vision of what that player would do for your team. So often in evaluating and scouting, you see the guy, let's just use a receiver for an example, and he makes these impact plays, and what do you do? And then when he gets onto your team, how would you then feature that player? Same thing at running back, you know, if you're, you know, a wide zone team or somebody that, you know, wants to get the ball outside, you better draft a player that has the speed to get to the edge. And the same thing, if you're going to play a bunch of man-to-man, you better have some corners that can get up and press and play on guys. And so I think it's you know, the best fit is really important, because if you just went on just talent alone, I think you could miss something. So it's the best fit, which kind of encompasses the whole thing. So the most important factor is finding the right fit for your team.
You know, it's funny, Coach, we talk about this a lot on the show, and you know, sometimes we get animated. DQ's a defensive coach. He wants a defensive guy in this draft. And we're pounding our hands on the desk, and we're saying, you know, he's going to go defense. What determines offense or defense for you guys? I mean, is it simply the best player, and that's what it is? Or do you go in with that plan that we're going to go get a defensive guy?
It goes, that's a good question, and here's how I'll answer it. As you're going through, you know, when you get into the draft, there's not just one player that you're targeting. You know, there's a number of guys. And so sometimes a player may have different value based on where he is. So if the guy's high, and like a few years ago, we drafted Keanu Neal at strong safety, and we really wanted his identity and toughness and physicality. So it was so clear of how he would play on our team. And I think at first people were like, you know, that's an unusual pick or anything. And then once they saw him play as a member of this team and in the system, I think then it was more like, I get it. And so finding the right person at the right spot in the draft, that's like the most difficult part of it. And if you really think the guy can make an impact, then move him up, because he's going to be the one that's going to affect your team. And so if it's an offensive player who can have a real impact, go after him. And if it's a defensive player who can have a real impact, go after him. I love guys who love to attack. And so that's usually in the front of my thinking, whether it's a defensive player or an offensive player, how are they going to go attack? And when they do that, you know, what impact will that have on the team?
Yeah, Coach, I'm guilty of that. I can't lie. A couple of years ago, I'm like, Neil! And then the season and then the season played out, and I was like, damn, that was a good pick.
Right. Then you're like, Neil.
Exactly.
Love that guy.
I love him. It is Dan Quinn, our head football coach, guys, of our Atlanta Falcons. The NFL draft right around the corner. Coach, I want to ask you this question. It's something we've talked a lot about on our show, and I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I want to ask you this. How are you going to make Vic Beasley better? Our audience has asked this time and time, and they've gone, you know, Dukes and Bell. I hear Coach say this. I don't know. I mean, listen, I've been around football all my life. I played. But at the end of the day, everybody's asking this question. So I want to pose it to you. How are you going to make Vic better?
Yeah, and I think what people are wanting is, that, you know, when you extend somebody, and then we did a, you know, a fifth-year option with him, I think, number one, you believe in the player. And I think he's going to have a hell of a year. So we wouldn't have extended him for the year if we didn't have that belief in what he can do. And so those are the things. So when I took over the role as defensive coordinator, there's a number of things that are changing on our defense and how we feature the players and some of the calls that we'll try to do differently. I went back through over the last, you know, 6 years of my defensive life from Seattle to Atlanta, and I threw it all into one big cut of thousands of plays. And I looked at the trends and, you know, what we did then compared to what we can do now, and what things offensively are attacking things in certain ways. So it is my hope and belief that Vic, amongst others, will really elevate their game, some to different levels than others. But I think to answer you and the fans' questions of why you extend somebody out, one, it starts with belief in what you think they can do. And two, if we didn't think that, you know, we would have never have done that. So I think the guy's going to have a hell of a year. He can really rip it off the edge. And so we went through just recently all the things that we're, you know, attacking as we're going through the off season. And I think many, yourself included, will be like, I get it. And much like you did on the Keanu side. So we have a lot of belief in him, and we're going to go after it like crazy. And he knows that too.
Listen, we trust you. I've said this time and time on the show, you know, we have our opinions, but we definitely trust you because we've been there. We just didn't get it done, but we know what we've got. It's Coach Quinn here with us on Dukes and Bell. As a defensive coach with the new rules, the pass interference rules, offensive and defense, are you going to teach differently with the DBs?
You know, we're not going to teach differently, but here's the thing I think we can do better. And so it's fascinating about this because I think what you and the fans want to know is, remember how difficult it was when that's a catch, that's not a catch, and then we did better to say 2 feet in a football move or one body part in a football move, and it became clear, didn't it?
Yes.
And so I'm hopeful that anybody who's, you know, watching a game or at a bar, it could clearly say, that's interference or that's not interference. And so for us to challenge that play or for, you know, inside of 2 minutes for the, you know, the replay official to challenge that, it's going to have to be really clear standards. But as far as it goes, that particular rule, I think you're always working to say, how can we do it better? You know when it really gets you? Like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, when you're getting the PI because there's some things that happen bad there. One, it's the yards that are gained. But you know what also happens? The clock stops. And so it's like, in those moments, when do I take a shot? When don't I take a shot? And I think if we can play situationally better, and I'm hopeful that some of the new things that we're adding to the package can do that, and the discipline that it'll take, we're certainly excited about having Isaiah Oliver on the outside and Devondre and hoping to get Kiki back on, you know, the tight ends and true outside. So it's a big topic, and you're on the right one. But we won't teach it differently because the standard of what's pass interference, both offensively and defensively, let's make sure that's really clear. But we won't teach any differently. Man, do we want to play aggressive and make people release, you know, off the line of scrimmage. Like no free access for receivers to get down the field. We want to really challenge the guys at the line as often as we can.
Coach, everybody's talking about the schedule. I have to ask you, it's out now. We know who, when, where, what time we're playing. How do you feel about all of the division games coming up after our bye week, November 3rd?
I thought it seems like the last few years, the league made a shift on that. And I think it's been awesome because as it comes, you know, the rivals of the division games and how cool it is. And so I love having one on a Thursday night, on Thanksgiving night. I mean, like, Thanksgiving in Atlanta is going to be rocking, and like that's going to be cool as hell. So I like them. Quite honestly, I like the division games. And if you play three times a year in the division, I'd be down with that. You know, like they're awesome to because the fight, the attitude. You know them; they know you. It's like you know, kind of the fun part about boxing and why we love, you know, the rematch as well. We get to do it twice a year, and sometimes in the playoffs, three times. You know, depending on how it goes. So I think it's really cool. I think they did a good job with it. You know who you play. But it is fun, isn't it, when you find out when you play?
Yeah.
And I think through the offseason, the coaches, you know, we look at the schedule and who the teams add and how we look at them. And but once you get the flow of how it all goes down, you make some special, you know, planning about who you need more time on earlier from an opponent.
DQ, I know you got to run. We appreciate it. I do want to ask you quickly just one other thing. What are your thoughts on Grady and Julio? I know that hopefully these situations will get worked out, but we don't get a chance to visit with you as much in the offseason.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on Julio's contract situation and certainly Grady being franchised?
Yeah, I think one of the great parts about Arthur and through ownership here, he's done a fantastic job, you know, kind of providing the leadership to make sure that, you know, guys like who and Grady are well compensated for what they do. Both of the guys are really impactful guys here on the field, in the locker room. So I'm confident that the team and their representatives will get together and get worked out. We got a bunch of good football guys here, and they do representing them. So usually when you get, you know, good football people together and for the best, you know, for the player, and it's a win for the player and for the, you know, for the team, we'll work it out, but we're hopeful that you know, they get that business side of things taken care of. And sometimes the business and the football intersects, and that's totally okay. So it's a matter of working it all out so we can get the best program for both of them.
Of course, a lot to chew up from that interview with Dan Quinn, and we're going to do that on the other side of the break. Some of the things he said, and throw into the mix, let Hugh chew on a couple of comments from Thomas Dimitroff, too. What Dan Quinn had to say, what TD had to say, that's next. Our coverage of the draft is brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. They are the proud sponsor of our draft on 92 on the game. Northern Tool and Equipment, take advantage of huge savings at northerntool.com. Back after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
I'm in Hugh.
It's my vote.
Go!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think 14 is a really good place to be. I think, of course, it gives you opportunities up and down. I mean, last year we were dabbling in discussions with people right in the middle of the round. It's kind of a right place for discussion.
That's an interesting soundbite from Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff. Being right in the middle of the round is an interesting place to be for discussions. Will the Falcons move up? Maybe. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios on this Good Friday on Sports Radio 92 on the game. We are 6 days away from the NFL draft in Nashville, and Thomas Dimitroff kind of, you know, he's not afraid to take a gamble and a risk. We know this, the Julio trade in the history of the NFL draft, it's one of the 10 most impactful, biggest trades, whatever you want to say, in the history of the NFL draft, and Thomas Dimitroff was the architect of that thing.
Yeah, it was a big deal. No question about that. And for him to say that and for Coach Quinn to kind of, you know, leave everything to the organization to try to figure out what they're going to do, that's pretty interesting. In the cuts that we played earlier when he was talking to Carl Dukes. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in this draft, John. There's no question about it. I think at this point, when you look at some of the moves that they've made in the offseason as far as free agents are concerned, it has everybody kind of scratching their head and kind of wondering what exactly are they going to do with that 14th pick.
Yeah, it is going to be really interesting. I agree. Let's talk about some of the things that Dan Quinn said on Vic Beasley, because there was so much made about the Falcons picking up the fifth-year option, what, $12.8 million, I believe, for Vic Beasley.
Something like that.
Dan Quinn very emphatically saying, we believe he's going to have a hell of a year. That he thinks that Vic Beasley's ready for another breakout like he had in 2016.
Yeah, and the thing that jumped out to me was the fact that he said he went through film, he reevaluated himself, and he looked at from his time as being DC in Seattle and to his time here and how he evaluated everything. And to me, that screams that he's looking to put Vic Beasley in the best possible position that he can be in. He's a cause and another thing that he said that really jumped out to me, he screams off the corner. He's a monster off the corner. That's true. I envision Vic Beasley being that guy that's probably going to be, you know how when Coach Quinn first got here, I forgot what they called it, a rover. I remember when I played, he used to call it a rover, a monster back, a jack linebacker or something like that, whatever it's called. He's going to be that guy that's probably going to line up all over the field and just put pressure on the quarterback. That's probably the best thing for Vic Beasley to do is to be that guy that can play on both sides of the ball, can rush up the middle, can just be a disruptive force, if you will, on the defensive side of the ball. Just let everybody else play. Like everybody else is kind of locked in. He's going to be that linebacker or that defensive end, if you will, that flip-flops. That's what he's going to do. He's going to go to the weakness of the defense or the strength, however Coach Quinn wants to play it, and just wreak havoc. That's what it kind of sounds like to me.
Talking about some of the things that Dan Quinn said in the interview to Carl Dukes, and we kind of breaking it down, some of the more the bigger key things, because broadly, when he talked about the schedule, that was kind of like, okay, we want to play the teams, yeah, the Thanksgiving game. And when he talked about Grady and Julio, he was, what can he say? You know, they're going to be on the team, we're happy. So I think the kind of the more meat of what Carl was able to get out of Dan Quinn happened in the discussion centering around the draft. So we have to kind of read between the lines a little bit. Now, Dan Quinn said that he believes that his team does not have, quote, not one gaping space. Now, I agree with him. I don't think there's a gaping space on the team. Sometimes, you know, a team doesn't have a quarterback, you, or they don't have a running back, or they don't have, you know, their linebacking core is, you know, total crap. This team does not have a gaping space. I agree.
I don't agree with that, John. With the offensive line?
Well, I think because after free agency, you have, you know,
haven't
Jake
played
Matthews,
it down yet.
I know, I understand that, but you, right, I understand what you're saying. You have all these guys. You have, well, not one gaping space going into the draft because you addressed it.
Put it like this: you've addressed some of your needs in free agency,
Correct.
Now, it remains to be seen. But you got to remember, these guys are retreads. These guys were somewhere else, and they weren't that great. They're not saying they're bad players. And we've all seen, like, guys go somewhere else, and they're much better. You filled needs in offseason. Let's say that. Because we went into last season kind of the same way. We went out in the free agency. We got some guys to play. And unfortunately for us, we were decimated with injuries. And things happened. Things went awry. But, you know, it's Coach is saying all the right things, getting ready for the upcoming draft.
Oh, I agree. They have needs.
Yeah. It's word play.
Right.
But it's like, you know, when you think about it, it's like, oh, you ain't played it down yet. You ain't played it down. We don't know what your offense is going to look like.
Yeah. And of course, he was kind of broad saying, well, we need to, you know, help at both lines. We need cornerback, blah, 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 blah. But then he was asked about, you know, how he kind of views the draft in terms of what he sees. And Dan Quinn talked about player versus player, okay? Not necessarily the need at some position, but player versus player. And that, you know, like Calvin last year, you want the best fit for the team. Because remember, Calvin Ridley was on their board, but I don't believe that they thought Calvin Ridley would fall to them. And when he did, they jumped at the chance to grab Calvin Ridley, and you saw what happened here. So Dan Quinn said, we're going to look at which guy can help the team the best. In other words, they may have a group of guys, and if all those guys start going before them, we're going to go on our board, which guy can help the team the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that started to make me think about something else he said when he started using the term press corners. One thing we don't know, we've talked so much about how Dirk Koetter is going to change that offensive line from a stretch zone to more of a power running team, because that's the guys he went out and got, guys like Brown, for example, right, and Luke Stocker. You know, as a tight end, these are big, strong, bull blocking kind of guys, right? Mm-hmm. So it seems that we're going to see a little bit more power run. What we haven't talked about is what Dan Quinn's going to do on defense. I think you touched on one thing, which is, you know, would you use Vic in a different role? What is Dan Quinn going to do on defense that will look different from what other people did?
I think he, from what he said, and just trying to glean, you know, what his defense could potentially look like from his conversation, they're probably going to be a little bit more aggressive than they have been in the past. You look at the defense last year, and I think early on in the beginning of the season, they were kind of on their heels a little bit. Part of that probably was due to the fact that you had a lot of guys out there that were in position and playing that he didn't expect to be playing that early. And then when you look at how the defense evolved as the season went on, and they were allowed to play more press coverage, they played a little bit better. But you also saw in many occasions where when they did go to that press coverage, that guys were getting exposed a little bit. And the one person that everybody talks about that couldn't cover was Trufant, Dez Trufant. And I look at that and I'll say this. I think Dez Trufant is a good cover corner. And the reason why I say that is because I remember the year, I think it was my first year here, when they played in Green Bay. And he was, to me, was the best player on the defense at that time, because he was out there playing and he was covering his butt off with no help from the defensive line. And I thought to myself, I'm like, dang, Dez can play. Now, I don't know what the defensive calls were, anything like that, but on some occasions this year, it might have been a situation where he was asked to play off and he got exposed a little bit. But I think that Dez Trufant can play a little bit more cover corner if he is given the time to cover.
And Dan Quinn used that term, press coverage. And I thought, okay, this explains Rocky Alford. Maybe he doesn't think Rocky is a press cover guy, and that's why, and plus his salary.
Well, and not only that, John, not to cut you off, but how many times, and I like Rocky, and I thought that a lot of times he got a bad rap because of what he's done in the past as far as PIs and things of that nature. But if you're going to play that up-close coverage and you're going to play aggressive, you're going to need some guys in there that's not going to get you shot in the foot when you're trying to play that kind of defense. And so that's probably one of the reasons why they had to let him go.
Well, and then that starts to make a little bit more sense to me. Isaiah Oliver, longer arms, more athletic than Rocky Alford.
Jalen Collins mode.
Yeah, big kind of press cover corner, bigger guy. Because he said press coverage. Okay, well, if they're going to go to press coverage, then it makes the sense to get rid of Rocky Alford, who's not really a press cover guy. And it also makes sense to put DeMonte KZ at nickel and okay, that which is what they're planning to do, and not at safety, and let Keanu and Rico and Kamal Ishmael kind of handle the safety duties. All right, that makes sense. Does it also say to me that maybe if he wants to be press cover, if that's going to be his thing, press cover, to give his rush time to get there, and he wants, you know, Vic to have these numbers, will they actually, was D-Led right? Will they go for the best cover corner, DeAndre Baker or Greedy Williams, in the draft?
That might be the case. And you know, that's why you never go against the OG, because we kind of went back and forth about what they could potentially take, and we all thought it was defensive line. When you kind of look at what the moves that Coach Quinn has made in the offseason, you could kind of see that a little bit more. But, again, I'll say this. In order to make this go, you got to make Grady happy, I would think.
Well, that's got to happen.
Got to make Grady
happy.
That's
got to happen now.
And I would probably say you probably want to get some more depth in the middle. A little bit more depth in the middle.
And that goes to, you know, when he says, you know, would you draft? In other words, could you – see, I could almost see – let's just run with this theory for a second. He wants press coverage. Maybe he likes DeAndre Baker. Maybe they can get Baker at, say, 18 or 19, drop down five spots, and move up in the second round, say, five spots into the top 10 in the second round, and get a defensive end or a defensive tackle there.
I would say this. Maybe press corner is a pressing need, but when you look at the defensive linemen that are in this draft and the plethora.
Right.
The plethora.
You can get a good one in the top 10 in the second round.
Oh, but, John, if you want to get a good one, you can get one in the first round with that 14th pick. That's my point. You go out and get you a difference maker.
I know.
And you
can
go get you a corner.
Trying to reap.
I know you are, John. I know, because you get excited when you talk about this draft. You get hyped.
Well, because I really don't have it
about the Falcons.
Because he says no glaring. Not one glaring space. Well, to this degree, I think what it's almost like a setup. He said not one glaring space. Then he's talking about press corners, and it got me thinking. I went, are they actually going to take another corner if they want to play press? Who's the best press corner in the draft? Is it Greedy Williams? Is it DeAndre Baker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be shocked 6 days from now. All of a sudden.
I'm telling you.
We have a trade. The Atlanta Falcons trade down.
Shout out to D-Led, but I still, hey, listen. The way to the quarterback is a straight line. That's a defensive lineman, man. You got to get a D-line.
The NFL is saying they are openly apologizing to the Tampa Bay. The NFL is openly apologizing to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You got to hear why next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Morning show with John and Hugh. Atlanta United back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. There's brand new turf on the field. They spent a lot of money to put in brand new turf. So the first game on the brand new turf tomorrow afternoon. Our coverage begins at 3:30. The kick is at 4 with Mike and Jason live from Mercedes-Benz. Our party begins at noon with the Esperanza Supporters Club down in the Gulch. We'll have 92 on the game's cars for sale, which are really cool. So join us down in the Gulch beginning at noon with the Esperanza Supporters Club in the Gulch for match day for Atlanta United. All right, let's get into this story because it's really interesting. There's a guy named Mike North, and he is like the head of the scheduling for the NFL, all right, for lack of a better term. I'm going to read you Mike North's reaction first, and then we'll tell you why he reacted this way. Hugh, Mike North said this last night. If we had a do-over, if we had a redo, I'd like to take another shot at the Tampa Bay schedule. I'm not sure that's really fair to their fans, talking about the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful that we didn't do something to the Buccaneers that they feel like was really unfair.
Well, I'm pretty sure Buccaneer fans felt you kind of did that a couple years ago when they had all the storms and you made them play through all of that.
16 straight games.
They probably felt that way. This is nothing new. I mean, you know, it's nothing new. But for the NFL to come out and to openly admit, like right before the season, like before the season even starts, that you might have screwed up the schedule, that's kind of bold.
All right, so what did they do? Well, this is what they did to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Tampa's already lost a home game, which is one of the reasons I don't like, and I'll just say this right now, regular season games being played in England or Mexico, because it's just too important. You can't lose a home game. What it does to anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. But they do play one of the games is a London game against Carolina and was a Tampa home game. So they had 7 to begin with in Tampa. The Buccaneers go 49 straight days. That's 7 weeks from September 22nd when they play the New York Giants to November the 10th when they play Arizona in between home games at Raymond James Stadium. September 22nd until November 10th.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And they don't get home. And they're on the road. Traveling every week, not sleeping in their beds. That's crazy.
They're going to travel over 20,000 miles to play road games against the Rams in Los Angeles, the Whiner Swampers down in the Swamp.
I'm looking at it. Yeah. You call them the Whiners, so I'm going to say the Saints.
Yeah, right. The Panthers over in London, the Titans in Nashville, and then they go all the way to Seattle to play the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's five straight games on the road. But, you know, I guess his one consolation is that against the Panthers, they are considered the home team.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't make the schedule. I don't know what to tell you. But at least, I guess, one consolation, you are considered the home team against the Carolina Panthers.
Whoopee. You're at Tottenham Stadium. I don't think anybody at Tottenham's going, hey, it's a Tampa home game.
My bad, dog. If we had a do-over, if we had a do-over to give, then you would definitely be the one to get. But hold up. This is my problem with that, John Fricky. Is that I know you put it in, I guess it's an algorithm or something. You put it in a computer and they print out the schedule.
Right.
Like as much as we, you know, they've known the schedule. They've had, you know, they've known it long enough to know the teams can make productions to do, like, say, for instance, Falcons did the Game of Thrones thing.
Right.
So you knew in advance what your schedule was going to be, right?
Well, but the Falcons knew who they were playing.
No, okay.
They just didn't know when and where.
No,
so
but
that's why they were able to put the Rams, because they knew they were going to play
the Rams. Okay, so you mean they,
yeah,
but
we
they,
knew
but
who
they
we
put
were
it,
going
they
to
put
play.
It in a certain sequence.
Right, we didn't know the sequence,
but they put it in a certain sequence so that it fell in line with the schedule. So I'm going to venture to say I'm just going to say that somebody in the organization knew ahead of time that this was going to be the schedule. You should have pulled that one back and said, "Wait a minute, we needed to redo this one." Like out of all,
oh,
the schedules,
I see what you're saying. You know, that's entirely plausible. Yes. that the teams know a week or two in advance.
Yes.
And can't say anything.
Yes. Somebody should have looked at this schedule and said, hey, listen, we probably need to redo this. We need to put this one back in the algorithm machine or the computer or whatever it is y'all do and recalculate this because that's ridiculous. That's 5 weeks.
Seven.
Wait, what are you talking about?
September 20, 49 days.
Okay.
September 22nd to November 10th.
Okay. Okay, my bad. Math is hard.
That's
a lot. That's
a
lot of
traveling. Time.
That's a lot of traveling. That's a lot of unrest. Like, mentally, they're going to be drained, I'm going to say,
plus it's
at
not
the
just,
Titans game. It's going to be drained.
It's
mentally.
Not just 7 weeks without a home game. You have to go to London. You're in Tampa, and you got to go to London, Los Angeles, and Seattle. It's not like you're going to Jacksonville and Miami and Atlanta.
Yeah, you got a nice little trip across the country.
Two, you know, to L.A. and to Seattle.
But you know what's funny? Yeah. I wonder if they would not
I wonder,
give them-
is Seattle – how far is London from – well, London's farther than Seattle, but you know what? It's 3,000 miles to Seattle.
I wonder would he give them an Airbus.
Yeah.
I mean, just to try to make it as comfortable for them as possible, I wonder would they give them an Airbus.
By the way, just looking at the Falcons schedule, too, I noticed this yesterday. The Falcons only play, just a couple other notes, Hugh, three games on grass this year. Just three of the 16 are on grass because they're the three outdoor games. They only play three games outdoors, at Carolina November 17th, at San Francisco December 15th, and at Tampa to end the season on December 29th, which means that unless there's a weird storm in Charlotte on November 17th, or, you know, it could get a little chilly in Frisco, they're going to play no cold weather games, and they're only playing three outside all season long. That's I think that's a huge advantage to the Falcons playing 13 turf games. They're a turf team.
Yeah, dome team as well.
Right.
So, yeah, that'd probably work to their advantage.
By the way, according to Sporting News, the Falcons have, on paper, the eighth toughest schedule. Tampa has the 12th toughest, but you might want to rethink that with that seven-week, six-game grind they have.
Yeah, that grind is going to be for real. No question about that. To be on the road that much and to play the teams that you're playing on the road, man, that is tough.
The Carolina Panthers have the 16th toughest schedule, and the Whiner Swampers have the 22nd toughest schedule in the NFL. So, again, the Swampers 22nd, the Falcons 8th, but the Whiner Swampers will whine that they – that's what they do. Man, that's unbelievable. The Rams, Los Angeles – so you're going to Los Angeles. The frequent flyer miles are going to be off the charts.
Now, you don't get those when you travel with the charter team.
You don't?
No. Come on.
Like,
what do you do? You're going to say, hey, excuse me, Miss Flight Attendant Lady or Mister – could you please, you know, put this on my freaking phone? No, it don't work like that, John.
It don't work like that. You be kind to us. Yeah, give us something out of it that we can get, right? It's going to be interesting in retrospect when they get to the Arizona game on November the 10th, what they did in those six games, maybe they'll take it as a challenge.
Oh, yeah, mentally, it's going to be a mental challenge, no question about it.
They serve crab in London? No, not that area of London. Generally at a restaurant.
Jameis Winston thingy. Gotcha.
Braves are headed out on the road. They're not going that far. They're just going up to Cleveland. They're going to Ohio for the next six games. Is that a good thing? Maybe. Top of the hour with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.